So, yeah, we were discussing the Gemara here on Daf, Dalet Amud Aleph through Hey Amud Aleph. We went through the Gemara last time. I don't want to go through the whole thing again, but just to remind you what we did. The Gemara was looking here on the beginning of Dalet Amud Aleph, regarding the Mishnah, Pasha Ta'ani Yashada, the Gemara says, Amai Chayev, Habi'inan Akir of Anacham El Gabi Mokham Dalet Al Dalet Veloka. Right, this is on the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph. You need the Akira has to be from a place that was Dalet Al Dalet. The Hanacha has to be on a place that's Dalet Al Dalet. And the Mishnah seems to say that a hand, you know, placing something in a hand, taking something from a hand, is sufficient. And a hand is not usually Dalet Al Dalet. So that's a problem. So the Gemara says, Omar Abba, initially the Gemara says, Hamani, Rabbi Akiva, Damar Lobin and Makam Arba Al Arba. Rabbi Akiva is the man Damar of the Mishnah, because he, in general, doesn't require Dalet Al Dalet. How do you know that? And the Mishnah, he quotes the Mishnah in Perek HaZorek, the Tana Zorek, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim. The Emtza, if you throw from one Rishus HaYachid to another, and it traverses Rishus HaRabim in the middle, Rabbi Kiva Machayev, the Chachamim, Potrim. Rabbi Kiva is Machayev, and the Chachamim are Poter. Rabbi Kiva Sabra Aminan Kluta Kimi Shehun Chadami, Rabbanan Sabri Lo Aminan Kluta Kimi Shehun Chadami. So this is, the Gemara challenges this a little bit, but just, again, I don't want to go through the whole Gemara, I just want to get the highlights so we know where we are. Basically, the Gemara is assuming that when Rabbi Kiva said that when an object flies through the airspace, that it's considered as if it's munach there, so that, for example, again, if you go from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid with Rosh Hasharavim in the middle, so it would seem to most people, and indeed this is the view of the Chachamim, the Akira was in Rosh Hashayachid, the Hanacha was in another Rosh Hashayachid, it just happened to fly by Rosh Hasharabim in the middle. Right? So it should be Potter. But Rabbi Kiva says you're Chayiv, and the reason, according to Rabbi Kiva, that you're Chayiv is because Kluta Kami Shehuncha Dabi. Now, when it goes in the airspace, it's as if it's Munach Al Akark. So the Gemara is taking that to be not a fulfillment of Dalet Al Dalet, because you could have said, well, Kami Shehuncha Dabi, it's as if it's Munach Al Gabi Karka. The Karka is always Dalet Al Dalet. So this legal perspective that something flying through is considered to be on the ground, that perspective is consistent with the requirement of Dalet Al Dalet. But that's not what the Gemara is assuming. The Gemara is assuming the opposite. The Gemara is assuming that if Kluta works, it's because you don't need Dalet Al Dalet, not because it's considered Dalet Al Dalet. So then the Gemara goes on from there.
How do you learn that from that? I don't understand.
Sorry?
How do you learn that?
What I just said?
Yeah.
Because the Gemara wants to know who the author of the Mishnah is,
right,
who says that you can get away with a yad and you don't need Dalet Al Dalet.
Yeah, I understand that.
The Gemara says it's Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah, so
if you think that according to Rabbi Akiva, the object is considered to be on the ground, which is Dalet Al Dalet,
right,
then how could he be the author that says that all you need is a hand? A hand isn't Dalet Al Dalet.
Right.
So the Mishnah, but the Gemara is saying is that Rabbi Akiva doesn't work. Not that Rabbi Akiva thinks that Kluta is Dalet Al Dalet, but that Rabbi Akiva thinks that Kluta doesn't need Dalet Al Dalet. If you don't need Dalet Al Dalet when it's flying through the air, then you don't need Dalet Al Dalet when it's in your hand.
Oh, okay.
Right? And thus, had Rabbi Akiva believed that the Kluta is as if it is Dalet Al Dalet.
I thought that the machlekes between the Chum of Rabbi Akiva is on Kluta itself.
No. So the Gemara and Dalet of the Day.
You know it's not. It's only Dalet and Dalet is out of
the Kluta. Correct. The Gemara and Dalet of the Day wonders whether Chacham disagree about Kluta, but.
Yes, I mean, that's what.
That's a different point.
That's a different point.
Yeah. But here the Gemara is assuming that if you hold Kluta, you don't need Dalet and Dalet. Then the Gemara goes on to ask, if you skip now to Dalet of the Day, so I'm just going to give highlights. So the Gemara says, maybe the Vidilma, right, two lines before the wide lines, the Gemara says, Vidilma hanako hudlo bai, hakira bai, maybe we could distinguish between the requirement of Dalet Al Dalet for hanaka, maybe that Rabbi Akiva doesn't require, but maybe he still does require that the Akira be from a place which is Dalet Al Dalet. El Amar Rav Yosef, Hamani Rebbe, it's Rebbe, and then the Gemara says, "Hey, Rebbe." So the Gemara ends up saying that Rebbe is the author of two different issues. One is Nofo Basar Ikaro Azil. If you look here again, so the Gemara says, "Damar Hakadam Rabbi." This is the end of the second wide line. So basically, this is an argument, right? If you throw something on a branch, whether or not it's, you assess that branch as if, you know, independently, or the branch is considered to be an extension of the ikar. So that is the argument. So basically, at minimum, Rashi says that what the Gemara is trying to say is that if the ikar is dalad al dalad and the nof is less than dalad al dalad, then the rule of shadi nofo basar ikaro means that you've thrown it on dalad al dalad, or the equivalent of it. And Politosis goes a step further, and they say not only have you thrown it on dalad al dalad, you've thrown it in the rishus of whatever the ikar is. Whatever the ikar rishus is, that's what the nof is. So if the ikar rishus is rishus ayachid, then the nof, even if it's sitting, its branch, it's overhanging into rishus harabim, is considered to be rishus ayachid. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says the rishus is not affected by the din of nof al basar ikaro. But at least dalad al dalad can be accomplished by means of nof al basar ikaro. Now, for our purposes, one of the important things is, as we were saying the other day, is that you could have said, now when you say nof al basar ikaro, does that mean you require dalad al dalad, or you don't, or you get away without dalad al dalad? You require it and you have it, or you don't need it? Same question we asked about kluta. So clearly, when the Gemara here gives the answer, oh, we're talking about bas nofo, bas or ikaro, azil, the Gemara is saying that is consistent with the requirement of dalad al dalad. Unlike kluta kamishon kadami, which is a position which does not require dalad al dalad. Yeah.
Why? Why does the tree have to have dalad al dalad?
I'm sorry?
Why does the tree have to have dalad al dalad? Let's say it's a very small, skinny tree.
Well, the ikar has dalad al dalad.
Always. Why does the ikar have dalad al dalad?
Well, they're assuming, because it's if it's a tree that already has branches.
Why would you assume on a tree that has dalad al dalad, not closer you would?
No. We're not talking about physical question. We're talking about the legal question.
Right. Why would you necessarily assume?
You're asking the legal question.
Right.
So that's what I was asking last week, and I'll give you another two. But we're reconstructing. I'm just telling you what the Gemara does with it. I'm reconstructing backwards. I'm not necessarily explaining it. Then all these issues, these are legal concepts, right? When I say something flying through the air, it's as if it's sitting on the ground, but if, you know, it isn't, right? Right? It's not mysticism either. We understand what it means, but the point is, it's a concept. It's a category. It's a legal category. It's a legal abstraction, right? When I say that the nof, you know, which is lacking certain dimensions, whether it's Rishuyos, according to Balitosis, or Dalad al Dalad, according to Rashi, has that status by virtue of the fact that it is connected to the Ikar, which has it. That's a legal statement, right? Similarly, then the Gemara goes on, quotes another Rebbe in the Chachamim, and the Gemara says, no, we're talking about Brishus HaYitop of Hayam and Aleph, Brishus HaYachid Makura. Brishus HaYachid Makura means that there's a roof on the Brishus HaYachid. Something is in Brishus HaYachid, right? And it's flying by Rishus HaYachid. It's in the air, but it's under a roof. So the Gemara says, if it has a roof, Amidam Besa Keman Nemal Yadami. Now, Besa Keman Nemal Yadami is also a legal concept, right? Because the object is flying through the air. Just because there's a roof over the object which is flying through the air doesn't mean physically it makes any difference, right? So once again, you have a legal concept, but the Gemara is assuming that Nofa Baso Rikaro, and the Gemara is assuming that Besa Kemandam Al Yadami, are not an abdication of Dalad Al Dalad. They're an example of it. And then the third one is, if you continue in the Gemara says maybe we're talking about where basically the object is Dalad Amo, is within Gimel Tvachim, rather, to the ground. Gemara says here on Hey Amar Aleph, second. Here, almost towards the middle of the page, the Gemara says, Shashil Shal Yada Lamata Megimel. So, what is Lamata Megimel? Now, again, the object is in his hand. And here we're saying that hands aren't dalad al dalad. But since his hand is within three tvachim of the ground, it's considered to be lavud. It's like his hand is on the ground. Like for the object is on the ground. So this is, and the Gemara is assuming that this is not a rejection of the requirement of dalad al dalad, but again, an example of dalad al dalad. So basically there are four legal abstractions in this one daf of Gemara. Okay? Kluta kemisho in chadami, something flying through the air. Shadi nofo basar ikaro, right? The branch being dependent on the ikar. Besa keman demalia dami, when you have a roof in a Rishus HaYachid, any object inside that Rishus HaYachid covered by the roof, right, is considered kemalia dami. And the fourth one is lamata migimel tzachet. In each of these four cases, objectively, we would want to ask the question, this legal abstraction is considered literally to be on the karka, right, and so on and so forth, or it means, you know, the equivalent to, albeit certainly not on the karka. When we say kluta kemi shehuncha, we mean just like munach ala karka is chayiv, so is kluta, but we don't mean that kluta is munach. When we say keman, basic keman demalia dummy, or lavud, or shadi nosa batsarikaro, do we mean literally that this is the legal status that it has, or just that that's the equivalence? So basically, this Shaklavataria is telling us, when it comes to kluta kamisha huncha, that's a legal equivalence, but it's not really kemunach ala karka. But when it comes to basic kamandamalia and lavud and shadi nofo, we really treat them as if they are dalad al dalad. That's the Shaklavataria of the Gemara. Then in the end of the Gemara finally says, well, what are you going to do with the yad? So the Gemara says, yado shaladam chashuvalo kedalad al dalad. That's the end of the Gemara. Meaning, it's true that it doesn't have the actual dimensions of dalad al dalad, but a yad is a davar chashuv, and apparently you can substitute davar chashuv for yad. The last week we discussed, what is the problem of dalad al dalad? Why do you need dalad al dalad? Is dalad al dalad a din in the Mishkan? That's the view of some of the Bali Tosus. Is it part of the Hagdara of Akira Vahanacha? Or is it a din in the Mokom, right, that you're taking from? Or the Mokom that you're bringing to? Is it a din in Mokom, like the Rambam says? So are different perspectives why you really require Dalad al Dalad, and therefore how easy it is to substitute for Dalad al Dalad. Yad, being a Dabar Chashuv, right, being a substitute for Dalad al Dalad, implies that it's not the dimensions per se. It's, you know, either the chashivus, or a yad is always a makom by virtue of its chashivus, and so on. So this is really what we're discussing. Okay. So it's interesting that the Bali Tosas raise a question already, and that is, why do you need to come off in the conclusion with yada shaladam chashuv kedalid al dalid? Why not just apply the halachic principle of achshave? Achshave means that whenever you assign stature and significance to something, or many times when you do, the halacha recognizes that. Did you have a question from before, by the way? Okay, good. So here too, the question is, if you put an object in somebody's hand, even if the hand objectively wasn't chashuv kedalad al dalad, just by virtue of the fact that you want it to be there, that should be enough. That's Tosas's question. If you look at the Tosas Ramatza El Rabbi Yosef, kasha l'Rajba. Matzrichin Rabba Rav Yosef Lahamid Amishnah Ketanaim. Right? Why do you have to struggle and to try to find a mandamar who's the author of the Mishnah? Right? Because you think you need Dalad al Dalad until you come to the conclusion that every yad is considered Dalad al Dalad because of its chashivos. But Sfirul Parak based the Erevin, the Machshavto Mashvale Makom. That whenever a person is interested, right, or gives chashivos, gives assigned stature to something, that's considered to be a makom. The Kamar Hasam, Gemara says there, Rav Yosef Hishtin, Berok, Chayiv Chatos, if he engaged in certain kind of bodily activity, spitting, other things, right, he's going to be Chayiv Chatos, even though it technically doesn't come from a place of valid Tzachim. The reason is because he's very focused on his on his present, you know, needs in terms of the object. Uparech, the Gemara there asks an Erevin, but you know, why should that work? Habiina and Makom Dalid, right? Veleka, you need Dalid al Dalid, you don't have it. Umishani, the Gemara says Machshavto Mashvele Makom. By the way, this language of the Gemara, of course, works much better according to the Rambam in a way. Machshavto Mashvele Makom, right? Because Rambam's perspective was that the problem of Dalid al Dalid is a problem of Makom. You need a Cheftishal Makom. Okay. Anyways, the Gemara there seems to say that when you're zeroing in on a particular location, right, whether it's in terms of the final destiny or the place of Akira, you want to get rid of something which is in a certain place, when you're very focused on that, then that, you know, is the equivalent, Mashvele Makom. And you don't need Dalit al Dalit. So when I say, when I put the object in the person's hand, and that's where I want it to be, it's Mashvele Makom. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says a Yad is, right, Chashuv Kedalit al Dalit. Nothing to do with his intention putting it there. So Tosa says, what do you need that for? It's certainly before you got there. Why is the Gemara going through all these contortions? Just quote the Gemara in Erevin, that, you know, Makshavto Shel Adam Mashvele Makom.
But he can't make somebody else's hand at Makom, his Machshava.
Okay, we'll think about that. That's a possible answer. We'll get that in a second. The Elo Temahachi Hod Amar Rabba Zarek the Pikelev of Pikitshon. The Gemara later on in Parakah Zorek says if you throw an object into an oven, or you throw an object into the mouth of a dog, or you want to feed the dog, or you want to heat something in the oven, so you throw the object in there. Now let's say the oven or the dog's mouth is not Dalit al Dalit, right? So, Chayiv, why are you Chayiv? Right? The answer is because Machshavto Shalom. This is where he wanted it to be. He wanted to get it into this place. So Machshavto Shalom. Again, the Gemara in Erevin is about Akira, basically. The Gemara in Azorik is about Hanacha. But in both cases, the Gemara seems to be saying that Machshavto Shalom Mashvele, right, Dalit al Dalit. So why does the Gemara need to come to the conclusion, or before they came to the conclusion, Yadu shel Adam is chashuv kedalit al Dalit, to say Machshavto shel Adam Mashvele Makom. So all the Rishonim asked this question. They're all bothered by this, as they should, and they gave different answers. So I'm just going to go through a couple of them quickly because I think they're important per se, and also they highlight. Right. Yeah.
Machshavte. They say with them. Give this a machshava that it has a chashivas of Dalit al Dalit.
Dalit al Dalit.
Why does Dalit al Dalit have chashivas? Is it because this is the personal, you know, environment, the boundaries of the person?
Well, it isn't Dalit Amos, it's Dalit Tvachim. So we're not talking
about himself.
So Dalit Tvachim is more.
Why does that have chashivas? Why does Dalit Tvachim have chashivas that machshavto should make?
Because it's a makom. It has this, according to the Rambam at least. I think that too, but basically, what we've seen is that there are different perspectives why you need Dalit al Dalit in Shabbos, in Hotzah. Right? If it's on the Mishkan, it's on the Mishkan. But normally, I think we accept the views that say either it's a din of chashivos to begin with, you have to put it down and take it from a makom chashuv. So the real category is the chashivos. That's one view. And then it's easy to explain why machshavto shaladam mashvele makom. You wouldn't emphasize the word so much mashvele makom, but you would understand why his subjective focus and interest were. Why should we care? The halakha usually, you know, operates with objective definitions, not subjective ones. So what, he's interested in this. But if it's a din in chashivos, right, then personal chashivos matters too. The other perspective is the Rambam's perspective, the one that we've discussed, which is that it's a Miri Migash and others, that the din of Dalit al Dalit is a din of Chetza Shel Makom. Not Makomo Shel Adam, that's Dalit Amos. Right? Dalit Amos Shel Adam Konelo.
So we say the definition of Makom.
It's the definition of Makom. And that's what the Rambam says in
not chashivas necessarily.
Right. So then, if it's din makom, so how does machshava work?
Yeah.
That's the language of the Gemara. It's very meduic in the language. Machshavto shel adam mashvele. What's the next word? Makom.
Makom. That's it.
That's it. It's a din of chesed shel makom. But the chiddush is that your subjective focus can make something which objectively isn't a makom into a makom. That's how these mafarshim are going to interpret. Yeah.
Why don't we have an analog for that? Can you walk Daladamas through Shitz a Rabbin?
What do you mean?
That's Amos, and that's
a debate, what that's all about. So one of the things, according to the Balamor and the Ramban, right, it's because Dalet Amos is like a separate Rishus. That's your personal space.
Right.
Like there's today everybody says, don't get my personal space, right?
Brother.
You know, exactly. So, Dalet Amos, right, is a personal, that's, remember the Ramban and the Balamor who say, not everybody agrees, that Dalet Amos, right, is also Hotzam Rishus Rishus. That's a shir in personal Rishus. That's Amos, much bigger than Tfachim. Tfachim is a shir in Mokom, Chefzah Mokom. I'll discuss more about that in a minute, but yeah.
Is there any size for a platform in Rishus or Rabin, for example? If you have like a pedestal and you need an area 4x4 on top of it in order to make it like a Rishus or Yachid.
Right.
Am I correct?
Every Rishus or Yachid requires Dalet al Dalet.
So the question I'm asking is, if the guy's Yad has a Chashivus, somebody actually put something on just a pedestal, it doesn't have a dollar by dollar, why doesn't that by itself have a Hashimus? Because I'm actually using it for what I want to do.
Could you use the same idea for the Rishus HaYachid? So that is a very important question. I was going to get to that in a minute, but since you asked. So the, or just take the Maskana, right? The Maskana says Yad HaShalotim is Chashiv Kedalan Al Dalet. So the Gemara says this in the context of the Malacha of Hotza. As we know, that's what we're discussing. Is it also true, this is what you're asking, is it also true about the Cheftza of Rishus HaYachid, either for a Carmelis or for a Rishus HaYachid? One of the requirements of Rishus HaYachid is that it be 10 Tfachim high, and the other one is that it be Dalet al Dalet.
Right.
Similarly, Carmelis, right, has to be Dalet, except for maybe one exception, but Dalet al Dalet also. But it's usually not 10 Tfachim high, but it's Dalet al Dalet, right? So let's say, is a Yad a Carmelis or Rishus HaYachid? Right? And would we apply these dinim of Achshavei that way? Very good question. So the Tosus Rid, actually, in the in Perek HaZorek, when he talks about that same Gemara, about throwing the object into the Pia Kelev, so the Tosus Rid says, whatever dinim of Achshavei or Yad apply to Hotzah, who I did, Rishus HaYachid. So, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in the Kiddushi HaGram al Rambam doesn't know this Tosfos Rid. It's also Raivid quoted by the Rajba here in the first parak of Shabbos, also says that, or something similar to that. So, in the Kiddushi HaGram al Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, he says as a Davar Pashut, and I think quotes from Chaim, the Rav is to say this in the name of Rav Chaim. Of course, no one would ever think, right, that Yad HaShalotim Chashav Kedalet Al Dalet is going to work in terms of Rishuyos. It's only going to work in terms of Maisa Hotza, right? Not Chetzah Shal Rishuyos. That needs to be more objective. Or if Maisa Hotza is in the Kelach HaYad or in Chashivos, but at least the Rishus HaYachid and Karmelis are in Chetzah Shal Makom, maybe even more so Chetzah Shal Rishuyos. So there, Yad or some other Akshavay is not going to help you. But Tosfos Rid and the Raivid, no less, quoted by the Rajba, really say it. It's a very fascinating thing. In other words, you're touching on a very, very important issue. What is the relationship between the din of Dalet al Dalet as part of the process of Akira and Hanacha and Hotzah and the parallel requirement of Dalet al Dalet in Carmelis and Rishus HaYachid? Very important question. Similarly, I'll give you another issue. There's a very, very big debate in the Rishonim here, and then the Achronim, and Daf Ches Amud Aleph. If you look at this for a minute, he's done actually most of the Gemara's tests, but we've been focusing on each one, but we've jumped around a bit more than people realize. So here on Daf, two Gemara's here that are very important on Daf Ches Amud Aleph. One is Harabaya. Zorak kaveris, the Shisarabim, if a person throws a, what is it called, a beehive, but it's this round thing, right? The Rosh Hashanah Rabin, Gavoa Yud, the beehive is 10 tachim high. The Ein Rechava Vav, if it's less than a width of 6 tachim, then you're chayiv, because it's not considered a rishus, and you're throwing a regular object, and you are chayiv. But Rechava Vav, if it has the width of 6 tachim, then you're patur. Why? What's going on? Where did Vav come from? Right? So Rashi explains that Vav is really dalet al dalet. But it's a circle, right? The beehive is a circle.
Right, this is square.
So you have to add the, you know, for the, you know, for the diagonal, you know, so you have to add a little bit, like 2/5 or whatever it is. So it's, that's what Rashi explains. One second. Ruchava dalet al dalet. Could I mean the Erevin? The kosher, one second. Kosher, the Shabbos. Sarachain va'alach sonon. No, the diagonal, the diameter. The dover ogul, right, when you have a circle, kimirabas la mitocho, when you square the circle, as it were, you have to add, the mafka eagle, shesaviv haribu, ala mishkachas de dalad mirubayim, ilav igula karav l'shisha. So you have to need 6. But then Rashi points out, when he continues, but it isn't really 6, it's really 5 and... And 4/5 or something like that. So it isn't really 6. So Rashi says, no, we're machmer a little bit lochosh. Only lechumra, not lekula. Okay. And that's what Tosfos holds as well. Why am I telling you this? So the Rabbeinu Chananel disagrees. And seemingly the Rambam disagrees too. What they say is, the reason you need 6 here is because of the following problem. When you talk about Rosh Hashanah Yaked requiring Dalet al Dalet, does that include the walls? Is it an outside measurement or an inside measurement? Let's say something is dalet al dalet on the outside, but inside, right, there's a certain thickness to the walls. So Rabbeinu Chananel says, really, it's a meduyak shear. But we're assuming a little bit for the thickness of the wall. So what about that issue? Does dalet al dalet for Rosh Hashanah Yachid, can that include the thickness of the wall or not? That's a huge debate, and there's a very, very, look like you want to say something. No? Okay. So basically it's a very fascinating argument, and Reb Chaim is a big piece on this. Very, very difficult read, but fascinating piece. Perek Yudalid Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph. And the question is there a difference in that issue between Akira and Hanacha, where you require Dalet al Dalet, and the Rishos? Right? That you can have something which is Dalet al Dalet, but, you know, do you count the outside circumference, as it were, or the inside space? A parallel question about Gova, by the way. Right, height. Let's say you have Yud Tvachim versus a Yachid, but it includes the ceiling. So the Gemara says later on, Daf Vav, if you look here for a minute, Daf Zayin rather, on a base. It's actually the previous line. Gufa, look on Zayin on a base. Gufa, Amarav Gidol Amarav, Chia, towards the top, but the two dots. Gufa, Amarav Gidol Amarav, Chia, Bar Yosef Amarav. Baish Ein Tocho Yud. If you have a house which on the inside isn't 10 tefachim, meaning there's no airspace of 10 tefachim from the floor to the ceiling. But kiruyo mashlim oliyud. If you count the ceiling, you know, if you look from the outside, it has 10. Right? Also, the Gemara says, al gago muto letaltel bekulo, but betocho imetaltlen bo elabedal ramos. Fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says you need 10, the height has to be on the inside. Then the Gemara says, however, if you cut a little piece on the bottom, chokikin, a chakika, that'll work. And then the Rishonim will say, but that shouldn't work either if it's too far from the walls. And they compare it to sukkah.
Right.
I don't want to get into too much detail. But the point is, there's a lot going on here. The height and the width of a rishus, right, how are they defined? Are they inclusive of the thickness of the walls or not? Or another way to pose the question, it might be conceptually a different way, when we talk about shiurim of reshuyos, is it from the perspective of the outside and the contrast to the neighboring reshus? Or is it about an environment on the inside? It's a philosophical question too, right? Anyway, what about a sukkah? Right? What about mechitza for kelayim and for tuma? Are they all the same or not? What's that?
It says tocho,
and
you mean the inside.
How
can you say that
includes
the outside?
What says tocho?
Language tocho.
What tocho?
No, the Gemara says that. What are you talking about? Zayin Od Beis? She'ain tocho yud.
So tocho means in the inside.
Right. Yeah.
So the Gemara says that includes the outside too?
No.
The kiruyo mashlimo liyud. The scenario, the physical case is that inside the house, let's say you're tall in many and always, right? But let's say you're 10 tzvachim. Right? Well, you're tall. We're all tall. But meaning there's no room inside the house. You're going to bang your head on the ceiling. Because the 10 tzvachim of this particular house includes the thickness of the ceiling. There's no 10 inside. There's only 10 if you count the
top.
The top. Or the bottom. Or both. Right? So the Gemara says, you can carry on the roof. The roof is a Rosh Hashayachid, but the inside is not.
Right?
I'm asking that's not so simple, though. Let's say you have, that's what the Gemara says here. Then the Gemara says, however, if you cut a little bit of a swath, you know, if you're chokek a little bit, then that's fine. It doesn't seem to require that the chakika be samuch to the defanos. In sukkah, we have the parallel problem. A sukkah can only be at least 10 tefachim. So if you have an exact less than 10 tefachim, you have to cut out a little piece. But there the Gemara says it has to be within gimel tefachim of the walls. That's what Tosa says. I'm not making this up. Tosas here comes up with a very important yisod. Tosas in sukkah, Tosas here. It's a big discussion. Some people used to say one way to look at it is that a sukkah is about the dvanos, right? And what we might even add chesashel dvanos, whereas a Shabbos is about the hekef amakom, the fact that you've cordoned off this place from the Rosh Hashanah. These are the questions. You have to do, we're just not doing it right now because we don't have the time, but it's important to analyze, right, all the parallel cases of mechitzas, meaning kelayim, to separate, you know, so that you can have the different crops next to each other, and it's not considered that they're intermingled. Mechitza tuma has a mechitza, right? Sukkah has Tvanos, Shabbos has a Mechitza. So many of the rules overlap. Those discussions, right? Good Achis and good Asik, and you know, the walls go up, the walls go down, Pitikra, Lovewood, you know, Dofana, Kuma, things like that. But there are differences.
Rabbi,
yeah.
I have trouble visualizing this. You say a house of bias, 10 tefachim,
yeah.
The week. 10 tefachim is it's a dollhouse.
Yeah.
Then you're walking on a roof. I can't imagine.
Well, it's not a dollhouse, but it's small. It's small. I mean, it's like this big.
That's 30 inches. Behind this table.
It's like 30 inches.
Yeah.
That's the house.
Yeah.
Talk about walking.
No, it's a, I mean, I don't know how many there were.
Walking on a gog, and I can't visualize.
Well, Nebuch, I mean, the Andaf, I mean, I don't want to make, you know, whatever of it, but Andaf Hamid Anas, I thought the Mishnah was talking about the dwarves, or midgets, rather, right? Right? So maybe it's a midget's house, I don't know. A hobbit home or something. In the Shire, I don't know. Maybe that's where it comes from. Yeah, no, but the yisod, you understand. The question is, how do we measure the... How do we measure? They have a sukkah too. How do you have a sukkah pachas me'asara?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. Rubo, Gufo.
Well, okay. I mean, it doesn't mean to cut off your head.
They discuss it.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, the Shulchano, right? We just heard they shaman they fill off. So bringing in my ears. Okay.
Hello, Adam.
So the similar question about the width. Dalit al dalit. Right? Let's say you have dalit al dalit, but including the thickness of the walls. That's the Kaveris issue. So what I'm asking now is a different question. I'm asking, is there a difference between the requirement of Dalet al Dalet in Rishuyos and the requirement of Dalet al Dalet in Hotza'ah? Both with regard to Achshave and Yado, as well as the thickness of the walls, and so on. I'll give you another example here also on Daf Ches. Look at the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Omar Ula, Amud, at the two dots, in the middle of the page. Omar Ula, Amud, Tisha, Brishus, Arabin, Barabin, Mikat, Finola. You have a stand, you know, an Amud, or a pillar, whatever it is, of, it's not Dalet al Dalet, say. And it's, that's a question. I shouldn't say that. Amud Tisha, it's 9 Tfachim high. It's in Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim goes till 10 Tfachim, normally. The Rabim Mekatzin Alav. And people, it's very convenient for people to put things on it or lean on it. So the Gemara says, the Zarek V'noch Al Gabav Chayim, that's considered to be Rishus HaRabim. In other words, Rishus HaRabim is for the first 3 Tfachim, until Lavud. Right? From 3 to 9, it's Makom Ptur, or Karmelis, if it has Dalet al Dalet. Right? And from either 9 to 10, that's a debate, or specifically 9, if it's Rabin Makatfin Alav, or some people say Roy Lakatef Alav, there's a Machokas about all those things, that's Rosh Hashanah. So this is a debate. If you look at Rashi here says, Tisha, second, I'm sorry. The Katzi Alav, the Kivit Tzorek, the Rabin, Rishus Rabin, Bein Rachav, Bein Katzar. Which is normally taken to mean that you don't need Dalet al Dalet for this Amud Tisha. And that's the view of Rashi, that's the view of the Rambam. However, the Ravid, quoted by the Rajba, disagrees. Ravid says, you need Dalet al Dalet for this Amud Rishus Rabin. So once again, is there a din of Dalet al Dalet? Only is Dalet al Dalet a din in Rosh HaYachid and Karmelis? Or is it also a din in Rosh HaRabim? At least in the Makom. And if so, do we define it the same way that we define Dalet al Dalet in the Mitzvah of Hotzah B'Shabbos? Would you even say Yad? What would you say about Achshavei? Right? So these are very important questions where you have overlapping ideas, right? What is the halacha? And I'm only talking about now in Hilchos Shabbos. I say there are, you know, the same question applies in Sukkah and Kelayim, and what are the distinctions that you make? I gave the example of Chakika, right? So when does a Tzuras HaPesach work? When does a good Asik work? Maybe even the things that look very similar are different. Like Bali Tosa say in Sukkah, that the main point of a mechitza on Shabbos is to plug off Bikiyas HaRabim. So people won't, you know, the Rosh HaRabim won't infiltrate your Rosh HaYachid. But a sukkah, that's a different story. A sukkah is a structure. Right? And so on. These are the questions. Okay. Anyway, getting back to what we started talking about before, it's all the same topic, but the Tosus asked the question here. Why not to say, like throwing to the Kelev or throwing to the Kivshan, right? Why do you need to come off to Yad? Just say, Dalet al Dalet, anytime. Machshavto, Mashvele, Mokom. Oh. So that's the question. So Tosu gives a very fascinating answer. Tosu says, Ella, we're in the middle of it. The Tirtz Rabbeinu Tam, everybody have it? And Dalet al Dalet. The Ha Damer Machshavta Mashalei Makom Haynu Eichad Lo Nichalei Binyan Acher. Ela Binyan Zeh Kama Mashtin V'Rak Sheni Yachal Hanshtin Ola Rak Binyan Acher. Chen Zark V'Pi Kelev Shavetzona Sheyachvanu HaKelev O She Yisra Fa'eis Fa'eitz B'Kivshon. Aval Hacha Eina Chosha Shebekabo B'Yado O B'Kli Acher etc. Very interesting in Yesod, the Tosa says, in order for your subjective, you know, interests or focus to redefine, right, this as a makom, or as a makom chashuv, or just as a makom, it has to be that you want it, you're exclusively focused on it. If it's just one of a number of acceptable options or alternatives, that's not considered to be enough of the focus to allow the subjective, right, to operate here. Right? So machshavto, mashva makom, says Tosis, is only if it's the only acceptable alternative. That's their view. The Balamor and the Tosarosh disagree with Tosis, because they say, listen, that makes sense in the case of Hanacha, because you put it where you want it, let's say. The Pia Kelev and the Pia Kitshan, right? But if you're talking about Akira, it's because it happened, that's just where it happens to be. So the fact that it happens to be there, right, doesn't mean it's the exclusive place where you want it to be. So what else could you say about the Hagdara? When do you say machshavto mashvele makom, and when not? So the Meiri actually says what you suggested before, I think, which is that maybe whenever somebody else is involved and you can't control the situation, or you alone cannot control the situation, we don't say machshavto mashvele makom. So when you throw an object into the kibshon or even into an animal, the animal is not really a bardas, obviously. So that's one thing. But if you put an object in someone else's hand, he can always refuse it. Since he can refuse it, it's not considered machshavto. It's not your, you can't create, you can't subjectively define this as a makom, because it requires his agreement as well. And that requirement is ma'akev. That is the view of the Meir. The Ramban, I'm sorry to get a chance to send this in, but I'm just going to read a couple of lines. Ramban has another answer to this question in the name of the Bali Tosis. Not what we have. Ika de Mefarki, some people answer, Shiny awesome, de nasis machshavto legamri. Avalhochalo nasis legamri, shein ika machshavto nesinas ochlin, elemishum achilasan o tashmishan vechenetilasan. The Ramban quotes a view in Tosis, which we don't have, which says, you only say machshavto mashvele makom if it's the final destination. If what you're doing now is merely a means to some larger end, then that's not considered machshavto mashvele makom. That's not enough of a achshve. Achshve is if that's the end of it. So if I put food, or if I put something in your hand, it's not going to stay there. It's not going to stay in the hand of the balabayas or the ani. Right, that's just a means to get it to them for whatever. If it's food, they'll eat it. If it's flowers, you know, they'll put it in the vase, whatever it is. That's not called machshavto mashvele makom. So if not for the fact that yodo shel adam chashuva kedalad al dalad, aside from machshavto shel adam mashvele makom, yad would not have qualified. That is the view. That's the view of quoted in the Ramban. Then he says, v'acherim omrim, but not tell me tocha my machshava ika. Problem is what I mentioned before, and that is, to, you know, to say, oh, he put it there, he wants it there, that's one thing. But he, you know, took it from there. That's, he took it from there because that's where it is. You know, not because he dafka wanted to take it from there. If it had been somewhere else, he would have taken it from somewhere else within reach. Oh, but the Ramban himself actually has a more fundamental approach to this whole halach. Ramban says, "Ani omer she'ein ika kushyasam kushya klal, she'ein omrim b'machsheves hamalacha atzma she'tein machshava osos hamalacha." Ramban says, "You never say achshave to create the nitty gritty of a malacha when really that's normally absent. In other words, to transform something which is not a malacha into a malacha." In other words, to accord stature and status, right, which defines the malacha, where it doesn't exist objectively, to define that subjectively, you can't do. However, if there is an ingredient or a dimension or an element that is ma'akev, the conditions of the malacha, and your subjective perspective, right, is focused on that, that will work. So, for example, this is what he explains. Ein omer b'machshava samalacha atzma, shetei machshava ma'osa malacha. Shari hu mechashiv laniach, ve'en omeniach. Let's say, we're talking about defining something as a hanacha. Right? He wants to be meniach, he considers this meniach, but it isn't meniach. The important thing is that you cannot create in the important definition of malacha, you can't create that subjectively. Just because he perceives this as a hanacha, but hanacha is part of the definition of the malacha, of malachas hotzah, perceiving it is irrelevant. He can perceive all day long, right? A malacha has to be done objectively. Right, what about the pi kibshon and the pi kelev and the mashtin and the rock and so on? Aval ikar adavar kachu, kisha adam mechashev lemalacha. When he wants to do and objectively is doing the malacha, but he's missing, let's say, something like the hagdara of makom, the osa kagon zark b'fia kalev, who miskavin lachila v'hu machilo. He's trying to do what he's trying to do. He's feeding the dog. Osa achila mashvid piv shel kalev makom. Then when it comes to, but the problem here is you have to put it in a makom. The nesina there is, the hanacha there is, but it's not hanacha the makom. Since that's where he wants it, that's where the subjectivity can come in. It's a fascinating Ramban. Meaning, achshave cannot a definition create. But achshave can expand, right, the requirements, the more extraneous requirements, right, that you know, that will determine chiyuv and patur. Okay? And that's what he goes on to say, umigu dahava malacha lakach. Since it's a malacha because he's getting it into the oven and he's getting, you know, he's feeding the animal, since that gives stature, have a malacha le'inyan Shabbos. Shazu malachas machshavas. He connects us to the concept of malachas machshavas in a very fascinating way, because normally, malachas machshavas, as we've noted many times, in the Gemara, in the Talmud, one could say, the phrase malachas machshavas, with one exception, always is a kula. Or in other words, it relates to a more stringent requirement, which ends up being kula on the halacha. For example, you have to, on Shabbos, in order to be chayiv, mitake, not mekalka. Right? Malacha shetzricha legufa, you're interested in the object, in the action per se, right? Not malacha shetzricha legufa. A typical action and not kalachaya, not a shino. In other words, if you do it b'shino, you do it b'ein tzrich l'gufa, you do it b'makalka, you're going to be patur, because the threshold of standards in Hilchos Shabbos, b'lachos machshavos, is higher, and as such, that's a kula. Here, the Ramban says, since it's b'lachos machshavos, and you really focus and want this, are giving chashivos to this makom, therefore, you're chayav. Meaning, the Ramban is using malachas machshavas as a kula, as a way of expanding, not a way of limiting the malacha. So there is one Gemara that actually does that as well, which is important, because otherwise how would we know, or it would be a bigger chedesh even to know that we could do that. And that is a famous Gemara mentioned in the past in Bava Kamma. Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Samech Chamad Aleph, and Zoreh. The Gemara says that when you throw the stuff in the air, and there's a wind, and the wind, you know, carries away the light chaff and leaves the, what's it called? Kernels, right? So then, that's the malacha called Zoreh, right? Zayin Vav Resh Hey. So the Gemara says, well, I don't get that. Why should that be chayiv? That sounds an awful lot like grama. Especially if you hold like in the Zikin and other places that grama isn't enough, because you need to do you need to be osa, not goreim. You need to do, not cause. Cause means it's a process. You put it, it's a step, right? Osa means you did maisa. So why should zoreh be a malacha? So the Gemara says malachas machshavas asratara. That's the only Gemara that says explicitly or that uses malachas machshavas not as a kula and a higher standard, but as a lower standard and as a chumrah. Now, how could it be that they're both? The answer is because it's neither a kula nor a chumrah. neither a higher standard nor a lower standard. It's a different standard. Right. Anyway, the Bali Tosus, and especially the Ramban, both though, quite often use Malak Smachshebes not just to limit, but to expand. So, for example, Rishonim asked the question, the Gemara says in Chulin that a sakin shel avodah zara, if you have a shechita knife, let's say, and it's avodah zara, so you're not allowed to use it because it's asur b'hanah. However, the Gemara says if you shech the animal with the sakin shel avodah zara, you didn't violate the isur hanah because the animal is worth more alive than dead. Even more alive than chocolate. Behema, right? Bechayaha, right? Omedes is more valuable than the meat. So the Gemara is basically saying the sakin shel avodah zara, right? Since you use this avodah zara knife to make the object worth less rather than more, that's not a violation of, you shouldn't do it anyway, but it's not a violation of Yisra Na, because you didn't benefit from it, it was to your detriment, right? So the Bali Tosus ask, and the Ramban and the Ravid, everybody asks, so why is there a malacha called Shechita of the Lamed Tes Avos malachos in the Shabbos? Right? Malachos have to be metake, not mekalkel, they have to be positive and constructive. Right? So, what's the Shechita? So the Bali Tosus, they say it in different ways, but many of the Rishonim are basically saying, Melachas Machshavas Asra Torah. Isra Hana, Sakin Shel Avodah Zarah, that's a totally objective question. It's a dollars and cents question. Is the object worth more this way or that way? If it's worth less with the Shechita, then that's not a violation of the Shechita knife being Asur Bahana. But in Shabbos, it's not always about the aggregate. It's about your particular focus and interest. And since you want to do this shechita, right, so it's Malach L'Machshavas. There's a famous, also a very famous Ran, and a number of Rishonim like this, a very famous Ran in Abona, also regarding Kosev. You know, we normally say that Chok Tochos, as opposed to Chok Yirechos, is not considered Ksiva. But in Hilchos Shabbos, it seems like it is. As if you don't write the letters, but you carve around, and then Mimela, there are letters, right? That's called Chok Tochos. So normally, that's in most where you require Ksiva, that's usually not considered Ksiva. So why is it Kosev for the Malach of Shabbos? So the Ran, right, basically says, oh, because Malach Machshavas Asra Torah. I'm just trying to show that Malach Machshavas Asra Torah, for one Gemara, but a bunch of Rishonim, right, is a widening, an expanding, in other words, of Malachos. So the Ramban here says the same idea.
Sorry? By every Mekalkel. If it works by Shechita, it should work by Mekalkel.
No, because something is an objective Mekalkel. The Shechita, if you want the, if you're interested in the food, right, so you can say, well, from Malach Machshavas point, it's not mekalkel. It's not also b'ana.
The way Shirayim, and you want the pieces for some purpose, you know.
Right, but the point is that this is a legitimate. It's not kilkul for sure. Shechting is not kilkul. Right, it's just not let your nana me isra hana. That's exactly what we're saying. Those are two different issues. So the Ramban here is very fascinating because Ramban has this Hagdara. When do you say Achshavei? When don't you say Achshavei? So Ramban here says, one more time, Umigu to have a malacha, lekach have a malacha le'inan Shabbos, when you throw it into the, you're feeding the animal, so that gives it the status of makom hanacha for the malacha of hanacha. Shazu malachas makshavas. So again, he's using, it's another example, or he's using malachas makshavas to expand Hilchos Shabbos, rather than to limit Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, so this is part of the issue, part of the discussion of when we do, when we don't say Achshavei generally, and specifically in Hilchos Shabbos, even more specifically regarding the possibility of substituting for Dalid al-Dalid. There's a lot to talk about in Dalid al-Dalid, but since we don't have that much time left,
earlier you said that from three. You talked about the case of the Amud. From 3 to 9, it said, is Malkum Patur.
If it doesn't have Dalet al Dalet. If it has Dalet al Dalet, then it's Karmelis.
But if it does not have Dalet al Dalet.
Then it's Malkum Patur.
So what are you Chayv and Rishus Rabin?
For the Lamala, Lamata Megimel. And Tess.
And 10.
Tess.
Tess,
9.
Is now, whether 9 is 9 to 10 or 9 only, or...
But 10 is the Malkum Patur also.
No. 10. Yeah, higher than 10.
Yeah, so from 3 to 9, it depends on what?
3 to 9, it's either Malkum Patur or Karmelis. Because some Malkum Darsi Be'Rabin. Malkum Darsi Be'Rabin is only Gimel, and Malkum D'Mekatzi Be'Rabin is Tess, and then the Gemara has a Safek, and the Afchesim Aleph, what about a Bor Tess? Is that like Omid L'Katef? The Gemara wants to know whether there's a difference between... You know, between Tashmishim Bedochak and Hiluchim Bedochak. That's the Gemara on Chesam et Aleph. Yeah, it's not such a well known fact, but yeah. Shusha Rabban is a very limited sphere, basically. Yeah. Okay, now. I want to go back to the issue of Kluta just a little bit. So, as we noted, the Gemara certainly, until it reaches the last line, we just don't know whether it retains it after the last line, but it's treating Kluta not as if it's literally Kamisha Hunakdami, according to Rabbi Kiva, because otherwise it would be Dalet al Dalet. It wouldn't be the Mandamar who doesn't believe in Dalet al Dalet, right? Unlike, and you're asking me quite correctly, like, how do you know? How do you know? The answer is, where are we constructing backwards? But we do know that it's an objective issue in all these cases. Whenever you say, whenever you use a Chafadimion, or this kind of a concept, an abstraction, we're always trying to figure out, do we really mean that this is, you know, halakhically what it is? Or it's another way of saying, halakhically you don't need, you know, or you can substitute for, and so on. Anyway, but what we say with Kluta Kamisha Huncha means that it's in the airspace. It's not really, we don't see it on the ground, right? And we don't see the airspace as being substantial enough to be the equivalent of Dalet on Dalet either. On the other hand, when you have a roof in Rosh HaYachid and it's Kamanam Aliyah, apparently we really, you know, believe abstractly that that's considered a hanach al dabe dalet. And the same thing for nofa basar ikaro, and the same thing for the little lavwood. Again, something flying through the air, you know, with a ceiling on top, or within three tvachim of the ground, is you know, looks identical to something flying through the air, you know, above three, and where there's no ceiling. Right, its velocity is no different. You know, and so on and so forth. I mean, I'm not going to wax eloquent about the physics of it. It's over my head, frankly. But well, you know, we all understand the physical process of it is absolutely no different. But the halachic definition of what's happening, you know, is considerably different. That emerges from this Gemara, at least the Havamim of this Gemara, which is that Kluta is not Dalet al Dalet, and these other things are Dalet al Dalet. Fine. So having said that, that brings up the question of how we understand the concept of Kluta, generally, and there's a parallel to Kluta, and that is on the Gemara, here on Heyo and Beis, on Vav Amud Aleph, and that is the sugya of Mahalech Ka'omed Dami. Walking, you know, whether, when you're walking, is it considered as if you're, you know, constantly stopping and standing, you know, every step, or is the fluidity, you know, in walking, you know, until you stop, you haven't stopped, right? We talked about Akira Skupo Kakira Sachetet. That's one part of the story, right? The other part of the story is, do we say Mahalach Ka'omet? So the Gemara here quotes a debate between Ben Azai and the Chachamim. There's some question whether the Rif may be Paskins like Ben Azai. There are people who believe that. We generally don't Paskin like Ben Azai. A lot of people think the Rif doesn't either, but there are people who think the Rif does. But it goes to the following issues where it comes up. You see here on Hamad Beis, five lines from the bottom. Hanarabana. Hamotzi mechanus leplatya derech stav chayv. You carry from a chanus store leplatya, right? Derech stav. Platya is a Hoshis Arabim, right? Like a square, a merchant square in a big city or something like that. And you do Derech Stav. The Stav is a Karmelis. So you went from, or Malkum Patur, let's zoom Karmelis in a moment. You went from Rosh HaYachid, Kanus, to Rosh HaRabim, right? Platya derech stop. You went, you traversed through, but you didn't stop in the karbos. So the Gemara says you're a chayiv because the akira was brishus hayachid, the hanacha was brishus harabim. That's what counts. Except that ben azai poter. The Gemara says dishlama ben azai kasavar mahalak kome dami. The rabbanan nei nami de kasavar mahalak lav kome dami hecha ashkachna kai gavla de chayiv. This we talked about earlier in the year. We talked about this Gemara. The Gemara says, even if you don't know, like Ben Azai, that Mahalak is Kalmid, which we'll discuss in just a minute, why don't you just say that that's not a typical case of Hotzah, Mershus, Hayachad, Lishus, Harabim? Typical Hotzah, Mershus, Hayachad, Lishus, Harabim is you go right from one into the other. Not that you have an intervening other Rishus. Good, you didn't stop there, but who said even if you don't stop there that it doesn't still, you know, break up the rhythm or the continuity, you know, between the Akira and the Hanacha, and so on. Or if not the Akira, the Hanacha, maybe at least it breaks up the Rishuyos themselves, right? So the Gemara goes on, and this we read earlier in the year, to try to explain how we know that interfering or intervening Rishuyos, as long as there's no Akira of a Hanacha there, that they shouldn't be a problem. So that's the Gemara's discussion here, and then there's another similar discussion on Tzadi Tesom and Beis in the Gemara, where the Gemara has a similar problem, and Bali Tosus there say, oh, well, why does the Gemara here on Tzadi Tesom Beis discussing this? Didn't we take care of that on Heyman Beis on Balamud Aleph? And Rabbeinu Porat, I think his name, has some fascinating distinction between them. We might have distinguished. If you get a chance, we're not going to do it right now, but anybody wants to look at it, it's a Tosus on Sadi Tesla base, Dirmasal Odilma. Give the Makum Ptur Kasvi Lo. In Tomar, my coming boy, Tifsha Meditanya Parakama. I want to meet Kanus Laplata Derasa. The second post on the page here on Sadi Tes Omid Base. 99B. Anyway. In general, again, we've done a lot of the first parak, we've done pieces of the parak Azorik as well. To complete Hotzah, you really have to the topic of Hotzah is spread out first till Daf Tes in the first parak of Shabbos, and the other really important piece here, aside of course from Erevin, which has it's about the Rishuyos and so on, is Parak HaZorik. Parak HaZorik is a companion parak, as we've seen throughout, to our parak. Anyways, the point is that the Gemara that goes on and explains this idea. What is Ben Azai's Mahalach Ka'omei Dami? So Ben Azai has this view that when you walk, but it looks to anybody else that, you know, the guy's not stopping, right? By the way, walking, running, it's the same. As far as I know, Ben Azai was not mechalik between walking and running, or jogging and running, you know, jogging, running, and walking, right? So, what is it exactly? So once again, a similar question, when you say mechalik ke, you use that chafadimion, right? Kuta ke, mishahuncha, right? Ke mandamalia, you know, nofo basar ikaro. That's basar ikaro. So, what do we really mean by that? Do we really mean that it's as if he's stopping, starting, stopping, starting, stopping, starting, or not? Hard to know. Ben Azai is a very big chiddush. So the issue with Ben Azai crystallizes because of Rishus Harab, and then the Rishonim brought in Rabbi Kiva's Kuta in parallel fashion. What do I mean? The question is, and this is Yerushalmi's question, how do you ever get Dalet Amos, the Chiyuv of Dalet Amos, Brishus Rabim, walking-wise, I mean, if you throw it, you could have it, according to Ben Azai. According to Ben Azai, every time you're walking, even though you're not stopping, Al Pidin, you're walking, stopping, walking, stopping, walking, stopping, walking, stopping. Right? So you never get Dalet Amos, Brishus Rabim, you know, without breaking it up. That's the question Tosfos asks. Here, Kashalari, this is on Heyomid Beis. Bisham of the Ben Azai Mahalach Kobe. Kashalari. Matzorech lahai taima. Lema Bisham of the Ben Azai Lomash Kachon Kai Gavna, the Mechaib Kedeparach Meha Taima, the Rabbana. Timishun de Moda Bezorek, Kamar. Hai taima hakati layada de Moda Bezorek. The Yada lifrach nami the Ben Azai, Azorek Emotion. Heish Kash. We'll get to that if we get a chance. The Tirat Sri don't come up. Nisham of the Ben Azai, Afilu Mishkachas Kai Gavna Mishkan, Potter. Even if it's in the Mishkan, it'll be Potter, because Mahalach is Komei Dami. El Rabbanan, Tikshiechen Mishkachan, fine. Now comes the main part. Ubi Rishalmi Parich. Rishalmi asks this question. Al Daitin Ben Azai, according to you, Ben Azai, that Mahalach is Komei, Ein Adam Mishkayev Al Dal Ramas, Purchase Arabim Liolam. There should never be a Chiyuv Da'at Amos, which is a Hilchos HaGemiri law, right? It has to be an option for it because it's a Masora, right? The Yase Kemi Shehuncha Al Kol Amaviyamu, right? The Potter. Every time, every little bit that he traverses is a stop. Umeshani Mashkachas La Bekofet. We don't have this in our Yerushalmi. Some Yerushalmi Chachmei Sfar didn't either. But the Bali Tosis did. The answer is he's jumping four amos. Not so hard to jump four amos, is it?
Yeah, 8 feet.
It is?
6 feet,
well,
at least.
Between six and eight feet, let's say.
6 and 8 feet.
That's
yeah,
that
hard.
Is it again?
Big jump.
Is it again?
Only in Australia
they can.
Yeah, okay. The Olympians jump 27 feet.
Say that again?
The Olympians jump 27 feet.
Oh, really? Yeah. So how difficult can it be? I mean, at 27 feet, I'm sure it's difficult. Anyway, it's hard to believe that. The truth is, I mean, you only need the possibility, obviously. Because there can be a halacha on the books. For the halacha to be on the books, it has to be practicable. How common it is irrelevant. It's a category. Right. Anyway, fine. Hashasti don lo chashiv lo pircha, says Bali Tosis. Our Gemara didn't ask this question, our Gemara didn't give this answer. Not such a most. Not, I mean, it's doable, but it's not an attractive answer. So kedamer bazorek, the dalad amos bishus rab hilchos gemiri la, ulahachilah makshalah. Tosa says something sensational. Since dalad amos bishus rabim is only hilchos gemiri, that answers the question. It's hilchos gemiri, and therefore, even though it's against the logic of mahalach kaomed, yichayev, it'll accumulate. Just because something is Hilchos HaGemiri law, what does that mean? The chain, and here's where it gets to us, kluta l'Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, what will Rabbi Akiva say about throwing Dalet Amos Hilchos HaSarai? The Gemara seems to say Hilchos HaGemiri law, but according to Rabbi Akiva, every minute that you throw it, it's Akirav Anocha, Akirav Anocha, Akirav Anocha. Now you can't even suggest the jumping answer because it's a total abstraction, right? Afagav the kamisha hunchadami zorek dalad amos brishus harabim chayiv v'lo amin kamisha hunchatok dalad amos brishus harabim. Tulsa says, well, my answer for Ben Azai, not the Yerushalmi's answer, but my answer, which is dalad amos is hilchos gemiri law, and therefore that has somehow magically answers the question. That answers it not only for Ben Azai, but also for Rabbi Kiva's Kluta. Then Tosis goes on to ask, to be Mestapek, for Rivan Mesapkele, Kivan de Medalad Amos Mishus Harabim, Lo Amar Mahalak Ka'omed, Afagav de Be'al Mekaomed, Leben Azai, Im Chayev, Leben Azai, Afilo Amad Lafush, Tok Dalad Amos, Im Lab. Whoa. Tosis says, well, if it's a rule breaker, because Tok Dalad Amos just have different rules. So let's say, according to Ben Azai, who normally thinks that every time you walk, it's like you're stopping, starting, stopping, starting, stopping, starting. Let's say you actually did stop, start, stop, start, stop, start within Dalad Amos. Is there any difference between the real stopping and starting and the legal stopping and starting? Meaning, what the Riva seems to be mistopic about is, ironically, the more literal you are about Ben Azai, the more this turns into a din in Dalad Amos. Meaning, there's no such thing as a break within Tok Dalad Amos, according to, or it's very hard to have a break within Dalad Amos, according to Ben Azai. And possibly Kluta. Why? Apparently the idea is that the Tok Dalad Amos is considered to be a kind of an inalienable, in other words, an unbreakable unit. It's not, you know, a quarter of a, you know, amma, another quarter of an amma, or an amma, an amma, an amma, an amma. right? It's an indivisible Dalet Amos. And maybe because of what we said before,
yeah,
right? It's personal space, right? So it's not a quantitative thing. How many Amos? It's that amount
is,
and therefore anything that goes on in there, it doesn't get broken in there. Or at least it takes a lot to break that up, because it, by its nature, it's integrated. It's indivisible. Yeah.
Well,
you always have Dalet Amos.
Yeah, it is a Dalet Fasim. It makes sense to think.
Okay. And therefore, I'm not catching this. Yeah, but that's a totally different halacha. I mean, how much you can move. I'm not talking about.
Well, when Tosfos suggests that kofetz, so it means that he's rejecting Rabbi Akiva. Because if you're kofetz, then why don't you apply kluz to be shulukadok?
When the Rishalmi says kofetz, it doesn't help Rabbi Akiva.
No, kofetz doesn't help take care of the Benazai problem.
Yeah.
So
that's Rishalmi.
He's kofetz because he's not mahal komedomi. But
that takes care of the Benazai problem. It doesn't help you for Kluta.
He must hold not like Rabbi Akiva, because if he holds like Rabbi Akiva,
what are you going to do about Kluta?
He must hold like Rabbi Akiva, because then Kluta.
No. The other way. Anyway.
Kluta can be Shemokadomi. Why is he jumping? Why don't you say Kluta can be Shemokadomi?
Oh, you're asking when you jump? Nah,
yeah.
I don't know.
Why not?
That's we never find Kluta for the person. We only find Kluta for an object.
He's only an object.
Well,
he jumps.
Okay, but he. We don't define it by the object. We define it by him. Right here. Anyways, the chay another suffix. Im lo amad chutzdal in the amos kagon sh. Not la acher miyado im amin amalach kovidam chutzdal in amos im lav. Right. Normally, we, in other words, what Tosfos is saying is, if we're breaking rules
right
when it comes to dalet amos, in dalet amos, maybe even outside dalet amos, then maybe they were breaking more rules than you think. It isn't just about Ben Azai. The chain kluta the Rabbi Akiva, imamer kamisha unchadam ichutz adalat amos afilu kol taacharo kelav on nisrafa kibin ichutz adalat amos lo amrinan. Right. So the Tosa Rosh dismisses these two sfeikos of the Riva, but our Tosas records them and leaves them. Anyways, our time is up for today. But this is what I want to speak about next time: Ben Azai and kluta. And what are the, when does it apply, when doesn't it apply, and what does that reflect about each one of these? To what extent are they really ka'omed, really kamunach, or not?